Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 371st edition of SDG Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is a question. What shall I do with Jesus Christ? So what we're doing today, folks, is we're asking ourselves that very same question that Pontius Pilate asked like 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, when he handed Jesus over to be crucified. Now, I'm telling you, this is a very old question, but it's just as fresh and relevant today as it was back then. So let me read you that question. We're going to focus on Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. And then, as we always do, we're going to build a message on scriptures all around the Bible to see how this Bible supports itself with regard to truth and reality. So Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out more, saying, let him be crucified. Let me just ask you, what shall we do with Jesus, who's called Christ? Now, I'm telling you, it's a very personal question. And each and every living soul, each and every one of us, believer and non-believer alike, we're going to have to answer this one day or another. So we're either going to answer it on this side of eternity or on the other. But be careful here, because we're not simply talking about some personality. Well, who is this guy, you know, or some philosophy? Well, what did he teach? And we're not even talking about Christianity. Oh, no, no, no. We're talking about the one who claims to be the Son of God and God the Son. Think about that for a minute. So this is an extremely important question. And it hangs out there before each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, believer and non-believer alike. And it's going to remain there till we answer it. So I pray that if you haven't already answered this question, you settle this question once and for all during this message. Now, if you have, listen on. Just continue to listen, because it's going to help you as you share the gospel with others. I'm telling you, folks, it's decision time. And this word decision means to make a determination. And it comes from the root for like incision, excision, decision, which scission means to cut. So when you make a decision, you've cut off all other options, leaving only one. So it's decision time, folks. What shall I do with Christ? What are you going to do with this man named Christ? It's time to answer that question. You know, everybody's going to have to answer it. That's what I'm saying. It's an eternal question, and it has to be answered by all. I don't care if you're a believer. You still have to deal with this. You know, Pilate had Jesus Christ standing before him that day. He wasn't a believer. And today, Jesus is standing there before each and every one of us. But then there's a time that came for Pilate, and it's going to come for you and me, when he's standing before Jesus. And I'm telling you, each and every single living soul will have a day come when they stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Jesus stood before Pilate that day during a week we know as Holy Week or the Passion. Okay? And he was at judgment. Jesus was at judgment before Pilate. But one day we'll all stand before Jesus in judgment. So right now, praise the Lord, Jesus is standing there before you and me today, through the Spirit and through the Word, stirring up some very pertinent, personal, and pressing thoughts about who we are. So what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Well, we're going to see that there were voices that spoke to Pilate, and there were some values that were controlling him or driving him or conforming him to the ways of the world. And then ultimately a verdict. And in Pilate's case, it was a bad one because it condemned him. So let's look at Pilate's experience as Jesus stood before him and just learn from it so that we can settle this question in our lives once and for all with a verdict that I pray for you assures your eternal salvation. Because I'm telling you, this is a serious question. So let's begin with voices. Okay? There were voices that spoke to Pilate. It's right there in the scriptures. Let's face it. He was the governor. Okay? And he had to do something with Jesus. And he got a lot of different opinions that were being thrown at him, okay? And this was inevitable, okay? Especially for somebody like Jesus, who was really stirring it up back then. So he didn't make his decision concerning Jesus without some input, without ample warning, so to speak. And the voices that spoke to him on the matter were varied and diverse. There were four of them. The first one was the voice of reason. Now, it says that Pilate knew that it was for envy that they had delivered Jesus to him. You could read that for yourself in Matthew 27, verse 18. Let's face it, he wasn't a fool. You don't become a Roman governor by being a fool. He was a seasoned politician. Okay? He was a seasoned man. So he had reason, the voice of reason, from years of experience working in him. Okay? And he understood people and he understood politics. And he knew that all these charges that were brought up against Jesus were a scam. Kind of like the political circus we had recently with the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh. What I'm trying to tell you is that each and every one of you listening right now, if you use the voice of reason properly like Pilate failed to do, you'd surrender your heart to Jesus. So this voice of reason, it spoke to Pilate and said, Jesus is innocent. This is a setup. But he ignored it. And then there was also the voice of his conscience. The Bible says in Luke 23:4 that Pilate looked at Jesus listened to all the witnesses, and then here's what he said. I, having examined the evidence, find no fault in him. So his conscience told him, along with the voice of reason, there's nothing wrong with this guy. Plus another voice spoke to him. It was the voice of a loved one, none other than his wife. She had a dream, and it looks like God appeared to her, you know, during that dream. And she said this to Pilate in Matthew 27:19. Have thou nothing to do with this just man, this righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So God used the voice of his loved one, his wife, to speak to him, to speak to Pilate. And folks, I'm sure, absolutely positive right now, that God's using me to speak to you through this message right now, just as your voice of reason and your conscience speak to you. And maybe you've even had other ones in your life, loved ones, who spoke to you about Jesus. Could have been your mom or dad, maybe a close friend. In fact, it could have been your pastor, or even years ago, your Sunday school teacher, whoever it was that God used to speak to you, okay, about this man Jesus. It was a message tempered in love that contained truth. And it was one telling you to surrender your heart to Jesus and to the crown. The crown of the kingdom, you know? And crown Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But you know who the greatest voice of all that spoke to Pilate? Do you know who that voice was? There was a voice greater than reason and conscience and even our loved ones, and that was the voice of the Lord himself. Listen to what he said in John 18:37. Remember, Pilate was standing there, literally face to face with the King of Glory, Jesus Christ himself. And here's what Jesus said. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Picture that. Can you picture that? Jesus and Pilate face to face. Pilate heard God speak to him audibly through the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, that is, when you put that in perspective, you understand what that is. That's mind-blowing. So at that moment, that very moment, Pilate had the ability and the opportunity to just surrender his heart to the King of Glory, Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, God gives each and every one of us these four voices. And they all tell us without a doubt who Jesus is and what we ought to be doing. But sadly, there are so many values that control Pilate, just as they control each and every one of us today. So in Pilate's case, it was almost impossible for him to surrender to Jesus because of these worldly values that were manipulating him, controlling him. And first off, we can say that he was squeezed by these values, okay? And one set of these values were public opinion and popularity. The Bible tells us that Pilate allowed Jesus to be crucified because he wanted the crowd to be content. As you read through that, well, Matthew, you can see it in Luke, and it's also alluded to in John. He wanted to satisfy the crowd. He wanted to avoid a riot. And so he said, let him be crucified. And that was public opinion that squeezed Pilate into that mold and made him do it. And today, so many people, they fear. They fear if I surrender my heart to Jesus, people are going to laugh at me at work or at school or even at home. They think people are going to look down on them because they're born again. And then there was another set of values that confronted Pilate and just squeezed him or molded him into the ways of the world. That was his position and all the possessions he had. Let's face it, he had a great job, you know, and it came along with fantastic perks. When you work for the Roman government at the level of a governor, okay, you got some really nice perks, a nice house, good income, great food, servants, and then along comes that Jewish council. And what do they say to him? They say, Jesus claims to be king, and if you don't allow Jesus Christ to be crucified, we're going to send word to Caesar, and Caesar's going to deal with you. You're going to lose your possession. You know, anyone who claims to support a king other than Caesar is no friend of Caesar. So Pilate had to make a decision, and his decision was to crucify Jesus. Now, there's an old saying that goes, what butters our bread determines our conduct. And what do you think was buttering Pilate's bread? Was it truth? No. It was public opinion, popularity, position, possession. But there was something even greater than all these things. And you know what that was? Something greater. It was at the very core of human nature. And this was the major value that conformed to Pilate. That was his pride. He was a very prideful man. Think about this. Okay? He was egotistical, stuffed up, full of himself. He had a head that was about ready to burst. Remember what he said to Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 10. Why don't you talk to me? He's talking to Jesus. Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to release you? So here was Pilate, steeped, full of pride, puffed up because he was the governor, you know? And the old-time preachers, they used to put it like this. Many a man has been escorted to hell bound in the cold chains of pride that were forged on the anvil of their hard heart. That's what happened there with Pilate, folks. So don't let your heart be hard. You know? There were these voices that confronted him, these values that were controlling him and conforming him to the world. But let's look at the verdict, the final verdict that condemned him. And I pray it's not the verdict that condemns you. So after all these pressures, he just couldn't handle it. He said, no more. I'm going to wash my hands of Jesus, Matthew 27:24. And then in the mock ceremony, he literally did. He brought the basin over, washed his... Could you picture these soft white hands of a politician? You know, these fence-straddling politician's hands. And then he held them up. And he said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. Now, it's true. It really is. He didn't spit in Jesus' face. And his hands were not the hands that plucked at the beard of Jesus. And Pilate didn't hold the club that beat him and bruised his face or the hammer that drove those nails into his precious hands. No, Pilate didn't do any of that. And you know what else I'm certain of? Pilate did not hold that spear that was rammed into the side of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't do any of that. But I'm telling you something that eternity will show. And that is that Pilate's decision not to decide was the worst decision of all. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. So Pilate thought that by letting the crowd decide between Jesus or Barabbas, remember that he let them have the choice, that he was going to get to remain neutral, wash his hands of the whole matter, and just get on with life. But that's not the way it worked. It doesn't work that way, folks. His decision, you know, his decision not to decide was actually the worst decision that he could have ever made. And you know why? You know why that is? Well, by deciding not to decide, okay, against the Lord, you're paving the way for the crucifixion. That's what you did. Think about it. Okay? Think about his quote-unquote mockery of justice. And today, folks, each and every one of us is going to have to put Jesus on trial all over again. In fact, let's do that. Let's wrap this message up by setting up a trial. I'll be the judge and prosecuting attorney. I'm going to appoint all of you as jurors, and what we're going to do is put Jesus on the seat of the accused. And I'm not doing this in irreverence, folks. I'm doing this to try to make a point. I want to look at some evidence. Actually, the testimony of people, testimonies of people who are recorded in the Bible, okay? So you're the jury. I'll be the judge and the prosecuting attorney, and we have Jesus on the stand, or in the seat as the accused. And there are going to be two questions for each witness, okay? What do you think of Jesus, or what do you think of Christ? And what shall we do with Jesus who is called Christ? So let's look at the testimony of some very powerful witnesses and then ask ourselves these two questions as we're going through this process, okay? So they're going to give their testimonies, and this comes right out of the pages of the Holy Bible, folks. This has been recorded. It's God-breathed. It's truth. Now, every time one of these testimonies are stated here, just remember it's backed up by the inerrant, infallible Word of God. That's what we're going back to each and every time. So first of all, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there's a man called the forerunner of Jesus. He was a man who lived in the wilderness. He's known as John the Baptist. So I call John the Baptist to the stand. Now remember, John the Baptist, he's a blood relative of Jesus. And he's the one who baptized Jesus. So Mr. John the Baptist, what think ye of Christ? And listen to what he said. Behold, the Lamb of God, which has taken away the sin of the world. That's John 1:29. Well, thank you, Mr. Baptist, for that testimony. Now I'm going to call the big fisherman, the stinky old fisherman, Simon Peter. He's always ready to say something, folks. So I'm sure we can get Simon Peter to say something. We can get him to give a testimony. So, St. Peter, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? And you know what Peter said? Matthew 16:16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that was a wonderful testimony. Thank you, St. Peter. Now I'd like to call the Apostle John. You know, John, you were a deep thinker and a mystic. You spent 3 years with Jesus. What think ye of Christ? And listen to how our beloved Apostle John described Jesus. This is what he thought of Jesus. Out of John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, thank you, St. John. And now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'd like to call the greatest intellect of all time, the greatest intellect, one of the greatest intellects that the world has ever known, the man who had the equivalent of 3 modern-day PhDs, fluent in many languages, a world traveler, a scholar, and a philosopher. This is none other than Paul the Apostle. Mr. Paul, Mr. St. Paul, please tell us what you think of Christ. Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. I couldn't add anything to that, could you, folks? Could you add a single thing to that? Now, I hear some people in the jury, they're saying, well, how about a woman? Call a witness to the stand who's a woman. Okay, there was Mary and Martha, friends of Jesus from Bethany, where he spent a lot of time. Mary, please tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? Well, one day, Mary stood there looking at him with her loving eyes, and this is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 27. And this is what Mary said, I believe you are the Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's never been done. Well, Mary, you can step down. Forgive me, Mary. You can step down from the stand. And now I'm going to do something that's never been done in an earthly trial. I'm going to ask an angel to testify, a holy angel to step down from glory and please testify to this court, what think ye of Christ? And you know what the angel said? It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 11. The angel, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, thank you, angel, for that powerful testimony. Now, I know some of you in the jury, you may be thinking, well, this is all good. These are all people on his side. These are all his friends. Let's hear from the other side. Let's hear from the enemy. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's hear from those who called for his judgment, those who wanted Jesus to be crucified. Let's start with the Pharisees. We know they hated Jesus. They wanted him crucified. Mr. Pharisee, tell us why you wanted Jesus crucified. Why did you hate Jesus so much? Well, Luke 15:2 says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Thank you, Mr. Pharisee. How about Caiaphas, the high priest? Mr. Caiaphas, you thought Jesus ought to be crucified. Tell us why you thought Jesus should be crucified.
Well, he said, I'm the Son of God.
Well, thank you, Mr. Caiaphas. You can be seated too. Now let's call a thief, a common street thug, you know, an insurrectionist, okay? Maybe he was guilty of murder. We're not sure. But we know he was found guilty of a crime worthy of the punishment of crucifixion because he hung there beside Jesus. Sir, as you lay hang there dying on the cross, okay, what do you think of Christ? Well, praise the Lord, it's recorded for us in Luke chapter 23, verse 41. This dying convict said, this man has done nothing amiss. Well, how about the traitor Judas? Judas, you betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You're in the pit. You know? Tell us the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? You know what Judas said? He said, I've betrayed innocent blood. It's in Matthew 27, verse 4. Remember, this is the apostle that dipped his hand with the bread the night that he was betrayed. Let's hear for one more, the Roman soldiers. Let's ask the centurion who watched over Jesus as he died, the one who supervised the crucifixion as they drove that spear into his side. What think ye of Christ, Mr. Centurion? And you know what he said in Matthew 27:54? Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, did I just hear somebody say, well, you called an angel. Why don't you talk to a demon? Okay, let's talk to a filthy demon. Filthy demon, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What think ye of Christ? And you know what the demon said in Luke 4:34? We know thee. Thou art the Holy One of God. Okay, demon, get back into the pit where you belong. Now, all you might be thinking, well, these people, they lived a long time ago. Any modern witnesses who can speak to us? Well, sure. There's a lot of witnesses. Millions of them. Think about it, folks. Millions of people all around this world, recovering alcoholics, drug addicts, reformed prostitutes, corrupt businessmen, all rescued from their lusts, all rescued from their sin. And each and every one of them would testify. And you know what they would say? If we start bringing up people like that today, I can tell you what they'd say. There are countless testimonies. Just look at them on the internet. Go to any website for any Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, and you're going to see those testimonies. They're going to say, Jesus is alive. He saved me. We all say, Jesus Christ is the risen Son of God, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is real. He's the Son of God and God the Son, and Jesus died for my sins. I'm saying that to you, folks. I was driven by lust for money and power and position, and the Lord humbled me. The Lord broke me so that he could use me. And I'll tell you right now, Jesus died for my sins. And he died for yours too. So receive this. So we've heard the testimony of these witnesses. People that were his friends, people that were his enemies and wanted him to die, and countless millions of people alive today who would say without hesitation, he lives and he changes lives. I'm telling you that, folks. Now, in all reverence and all humility, I want us all to get very quiet right now, very still, because there's one more witness I'm going to call today. I'm going to call Jehovah Elohim, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the universe, the one who sits upon the bench for all eternity. I'm going to call God Almighty. Father God, what think ye of Christ? And here are the words of our Most High Heavenly Father. They're recorded in Matthew 3:17. And he says from the clouds, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then listen to this scripture from 1 John. Here's what God himself says about his Son, the Word made flesh. If we receive the witness of men, and folks, we all have, we just heard it. We just shared that, okay? The witness of God is greater. For the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son, believeth on the Son of God, hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That's 1 John 5:9. Folks, I'm telling you, God Almighty, out of his heavenly glory, says, this man, Jesus Christ, is my beloved Son. Plus, on top of all this, God's given us the written record and the witness in the Spirit. Now, Holy Father, please forgive us. We don't want to be impertinent, but Father God, they nailed him to a cross. They said he was blood guilty. Father, what do you say about that? And you know what our mighty Father in heaven says? You know what he says about his beloved Son, his only begotten Son? He said he was guilty, guilty of love in the first degree, guilty of loving us and taking that guilt upon himself. But God, Father God, what witness do you have to that? And you know what our God, our Heavenly Father, says? He says it to us right there out of Romans 1:4. You want evidence, folks? I'll give you some evidence. Listen to this. He is shown to be the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection from the dead. Folks, this is the testimony, rock-ribbed, immutable testimony of God the Father himself. He just said to us there in Romans 1:4 that the Lord Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, living, risen, victorious. Yet today, so many are skeptical. And they ask, but how do you know? Maybe this whole thing is just a made-up story. You know, I read Zeitgeist. I watched the video Zeitgeist. This was all planned. This was all planned. Maybe his apostles were dishonest men and liars. Oh, really, folks? You know, a lot of people, they'll live for a lie, but few are willing to die for a lie. And each and every one of these men, these apostles, except one, died martyr's death. And then countless thousands, if not millions, after them did. And what did they do it for? For the truth. Now, one of them, John the Apostle, he didn't die the death of a martyr, but he was sent to a big rock called Patmos, where he served a life sentence for refusing to deny the truth. So all these apostles, including the traitor Judas, sealed their testimonies with their lives. Now, the truth is, folks, men lie to get out of trouble. They don't lie to get into trouble. But no one could keep these men quiet. No one could keep the disciples that they made quiet. They all knew that Jesus rose from the grave. No one could shut them up. It would have been easier back then to tell the sun not to get up in the morning than to tell these people to be quiet. You know, God says, this is my beloved son. And the evidence that he's got, okay, is so overpowering, so convincing. He's not just another religious leader. God raised Jesus from the dead, not Mohammed, not Buddha, not Confucius, none of those. You doubt that? Well, listen to what the book of Acts says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Okay? He was shown alive by many infallible proofs. So you've heard all the testimony today. And I'm going to ask each and every one of you on the jury right now to make a solemn decision. Remember, right now, this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is in your hands. But remember that one day you're going to be in his. But before you today stands Jesus Christ. And soon, perhaps sooner than you realize, you're going to be standing before him. So I ask you that question again. I'm going to ask you that. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Well, you can either crown him or crucify him. What else can you do with him? Well, I'm telling you, you could either accept him or reject him. And there's more. Confess him or deny him. But there's one thing you can't do. And I hope I've shown you that through the story of Pontius Pilate. You can't ignore him, folks. So right now, you're face to face with the unavoidable, inevitable Jesus Christ. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm just not going to make that decision. Well, guess what? You've just decided. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 says, and this is Jesus telling you what happens when your decision is to not decide. And here's what Jesus said. He that is not with me is against me. So, folks, let's face it. Okay? We're coming to the end of this message. And you need to decide either one way or the other. Are you either going over the blood or under the blood? Are you going to trample the blood of Jesus under your feet and continue in the life you're living? Or are you going to get under his blood and be covered by his blood and receive forgiveness for your sins? I'm telling you, don't try that trick that Pilate pulled. It doesn't work. It never will. Don't push this off. Don't kick this can down the road. Remember, the most important question you're ever going to answer in your entire lifetime is, what think ye of Christ? What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? Folks, I love y'all, and I don't want to see any of you left behind. So confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe that he rose from the grave with your heart. And the Bible says, it does. It says you will be saved. Folks, I love you all, and I'll be back next week with another message, provided the Lord's willing and we're still here. Just go out this week living and loving Jesus.
All the way my Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. And cheers each winding path I tread. gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love.
My Savior.